Good morning. And welcome to worship. We've got a number of people who've fallen foul of the jab and so had after effects of it, but we hope they're better soon. Now, I can see there's quite a few people visiting us this morning, and I don't want to get to the point where I miss someone. So what I'm going to do is ask after three, if you're visiting today, to raise your right hand. One, two, three. Now everybody clap and welcome them, will you? Hooray! Right, that's enough. Okay. Now tea and coffee will be served in the community hall following our worship this morning. And due to holidays, illness, family commitments, we're not able to hold an open air, unfortunately. But means that we can get more people joining in the coffee fellowship. There's no sallywag tomorrow, but at 11 o'clock, the funeral of that wonderful Christian man, Stan Cracknell, takes place. That's 11 a.m. Wednesday at 1:30, friends together will be meeting. On Thursday, the coffee morning will be open from 10 till 12, and the Explorers, I believe, are back in business at 3:30 after school. On Saturday at 2 p.m. in this hall, there'll be a Thanksgiving service for David Doy. The October bulletin is available, and it contains lots of wonderful information. Make sure you have one before you leave this morning. And can I also remind you that every Sunday morning, between 10 o'clock and 20 past, there is a core prayer meeting in the community hall. Now, if you find you arrive and it started, then please feel free to just quietly join in. So remind you of that. It's 10 o'clock till 20 past 10 every Sunday morning. And prayer changes things, doesn't it? Change the captain. So we'll hand over to him, the change man.
There's still a lot of work to do, as you all know, so please continue praying for me. I've lost my train of thought now. What was I going to say? Yeah, so last week we started a new series on giving, and we're going to carry on with that today because it fits into our theme of harvest. But this is the point I want to emphasize. This is what I want you to hear, and this is what I want you to walk away out of this building with. We give not because it's the done thing. We give not out of a sense of duty. We give not in payment for a service, but we give in grateful response for what God has done for us. So our giving, we do it in an attitude of worship because of God's great love for us, manifested by the sacrifice, the giving of his Son on the cross. And I was expecting a little bit of a reaction. And a little bit of a smile and a little bit of expressions of wonder on people's faces because God became one of us. Amen. And he allowed us to enter, to be cleaned of our wrongdoing and to enter into a relationship with our Creator. And I wish and I hope and I pray that you're filled with that sense of wonder. The reality of our faith. So with that in mind, I'm going to read to you Psalm 100. Psalm 100. And I'm going to read it very unusually because I don't usually go here. Psalm 100 from the Message paraphrase. On your feet now, applaud God. Bring a gift of laughter. Sing yourselves into his presence. Know this, God is God, and God, God. He made us. We didn't make him. We're his people, his well-tended sheep. Enter with the password, thank you. Make yourselves at home, talking praise. Thank him. Worship him. For God is sheer beauty. All generous in love. Loyal always and ever. That is a wonderful picture of the God that we gather here to worship in. And through everything that we do, let it be an expression of thanks this morning. So we begin our song worship right now with song number 70 in the songbook. If you're following in a printed songbook, as I do, we plow the fields and scatter. And in the chorus, we'll sing those well-known words. All good gifts around us are sent from heaven above. Then thank the Lord, oh thank the Lord for all his love. And we'll follow our bandmaster for the day. Please take your seats. Now thank the Lord for all he has done. And we're going to be very, very, very specific in the next song. Thank you for saving me. What can I say? You are my everything. I will sing your praise. You shed your blood for me. What can I say? You took my sin and shame, a sinner called by name. Wow. Wow. What a gift. What a reason to be thankful this morning.
Be
let those words settle in for a while. And I was struck by that idea of singing, "You are my everything." Can you say that in all honesty? Let us pray together. Father Creator, we come before you today giving thanks for your provision and goodness to us at this harvest time. And we are grateful for your love that not only provides for our needs, but also made a way for us to know you through Jesus Christ. It is easy in difficult days to lose focus on what you have given us. We pray that today, as we look to your creation, a wonderful gift, that we will learn to be thankful for our world. We thank you that you are a good Father who has given us everything we need. Forgive us for doubting you, for worrying, and for trying so hard to work everything out on our own. Help us to trust you more. Help us in our unbelief. Help us to help others and to share and care as you taught us. In Jesus' name. Amen. I hand over now to the songsters under the leadership of Neil today. Thank you, songsters. That was a good one. Set the festive atmosphere that we were that we're looking for on today, this harvest Sunday. Last night I came in with Lisette and the girls and Lisette's mum to help put in finishing touches to two of the windows. And I'm grateful for your creativity. And that's something else that we can be thankful for this morning, is creative minds. So have a good old look at these windows. They're really interesting. I was particularly touched by the band one, actually. Whoever's idea that was a good one. Where am I? Ha! I'm looking for some athletic people, please. I need some young people, and then I need some less young people who are athletes. And I also need a timekeeper, which is going to be Brian's going to be timekeeper. So if Brian can get his stopwatch out, he's going to be umpire and timekeeper. Lovely. I need some slightly bigger people. Come on, Connor. So I need two teams basically. So if we're going to have two teams, I need one other person at least. You coming, Martha, to play in the race? Well, then if Lisette's coming as well, Claire can come, and we've got two teams. Lovely. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to have a relay race, basically. And what I want you to do, each team, is to balance your balloon on this cup. All the way, without cheating, all the way to the back of the hall. Then all the way back down, balancing your balloon on the cup, all the way down to the bottom. Then I want you to pass it to the person and do it as a relay race. And I want Brian to time it, please. Do you understand? Yeah? Archie, so what are my teams? Can I have two clear teams here, please? Archie, are you over here? Hudson over here. Lovely. So basically, I want you to hold the cup and balance the balloon in it and go all the way to the back of the hall and all the way back to the front, holding it in that way. Right, so here we go. If you want to use two hands, that's fine, but do not touch the balloon. Do not touch the balloon, only the cup. Whee! Well, let's go. Right, come on, let's go. On your marks, ready, steady, go. Oh no! What are we going to do? Come on, Hudson, carry on, Hudson. Oh. Come on, let's go, Archie, come on. Your team are cheering you on. Because Hudson's... Come on, in back down, come on. Let's walk nice and fast. Can you run? Can you run? Whoa! Here we go. Who's next? Martha? You can't hold a balloon, okay? You've got to balance the balloon on the cup. Let's go. No, that's not the rules. No, none of that here. Come, Martha, can you run? Can you run? Yeah, come on, and turn around. Can you run? And Felicity. Well, I think you'll manage, Felicity. Just take your time.
Go on, Felicity. Go on. You can do this.
Try two hands. Oh. Come on, let's go, Felicity. Let's go. Whoa! Ayla, well done. I'm very impressed by your skills. Your balancing skills. Oh, let's not be accused of cheating, Felicity. Here we go, lap two. Oh, and here we're coming. Is this the grand finale? Here we go, the grand finale. The only problem I'm facing here is I'm going to have to make a lesson up on the spot now. But that'll be all right. I've never seen such concentration, Claire. The tongue was out and everything. Whoa! Have we got a time for Claire? And these. So, what time did blue do it in?
3:14 was the first one.
Okay, lovely.
And then the yellow team, 3:22.
Lovely. Ah, well, never mind. How did you find that challenge difficult?
Oh, yeah.
How about you, Connor? Or did you just breezed it? You just breezed it, yeah, whatever. Yeah, but then we did help each other a little bit. And I think, here we go. What I want us to do now is we're going to do the same challenge. So I didn't tell you to sit down just yet, Connor. Come on, mate. We're going to do the challenge very slightly differently. We're still going to have two teams. But you know what we're going to do this time? We're going to help each other. And we're going to do the same relay race. Two cups, two people, one balloon. And then let's see if we do it much faster. So can we have, was it Hudson and Archie, was it first team?
Yeah.
Hudson and Archie were first team. So look, if you both hold the cup with two hands, yeah, and hold the balloon that way, let's see if it's easier to do the challenge this way. Brian, here we go. Oh, very good. Very good. Oh, very good, boys. Oh, yes. This is what we like to see. This is what we like to see. Teamwork makes the dream work. Lovely. Good, good, good. I don't know why I'm following them, but I'm here anyway. And let's turn around and back. This is good teamwork. You're helping each other out, and you're making the game happen. Oh, and we're gaining a bit of speed. We're gaining a bit of speed. Is the next... Oh, shame, shame, shame. Is the next pair ready? Next pair, are you ready? Because Hudson and Archie are steaming along here. They're motoring along here. They're ready to take to pass the relay. They're ready to pass the relay. Nearly, nearly, nearly. They're just about with you. Good, come on, come on. Come on, and who's next? Woo! Oh, I want to see some movement here. I want to see some movement. I'm expecting to see some light jogging. Whoa, 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 whoa. Yeah, and back. Woo! 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 Nearly, nearly. Who's next? Ayla and Felicity. On you go. Whoa, quickly, quickly. And whoa, and go. Woo! And finally, the dynamic duo. And finally, oh, here they go. Oh, they're off, cheating. Come on, you can go faster than that. Brian, do we have a time in this run?
Yes, I do.
Lovely. And in. Lovely. Let's thank all of our contestants. For a wonderful cardio workout this morning, and it's good for your step count as well. So tell me, can we have some scores, please? Just under 2 minutes. Just under 2 minutes when we work together. 3.5 minutes, essentially.
3:14 and 3:22.
Nearly 3.5 minutes when we were working on our own. So what can we learn from that? What can we learn from that? Is it good to work together? Is it good to share? Is it good to help others out when we can't do something ourselves? Well, that's what I encourage you all to do, Martha. That's what I encourage you all to do, is to make sure that you're helpful and that you're giving of your time and of your talents to help and to encourage others. Is that something you can do, Felicity, at school? Help others? Lovely. Hudson, can you help others at nursery? Archie, you go to nursery, don't you? Can you help others when you go to nursery? Yeah, good man. Ayla?
I always do.
I always do. Keep it up and make sure we do it. And that's true of all of us, isn't it? It's in giving that we are given a gift as well, isn't it? In helping, and that builds us up as well. And it allows us to all to accomplish tasks a lot more easily. Well, thank you very much, everyone, for your participation. Are you off to Sunday school? Not today. Oh, we should have had another game then. Well, I should have come up with another game. Never mind. Oh, no, but I've sent you off. But I've got Jackie, have I got a song? I've got a song. Come back. It's a very athletic one. Let's stand. I'm going to jump up and down. I'm going to turn around. I'm going to praise your name forever. I'm going to shout out loud. I'm going to deafen the crowd. I'm going to praise. Na, 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 something like that. Are we ready? Come on, everyone, stand up. My investment in you, in terms of expecting you to participate in these songs, is paying off great dividends for all of us. I'm feeling happy because it looks like you're engaged, and you must be happy because you're enjoying it, even though for some of you it's very deep down. Here we go, Jackie.
Gonna jump up and down, gonna spin around, gonna praise your name forever.
I'm gonna shout out loud,
I'm gonna deafen the crowd, gonna sing my praise to heaven. I'm gonna jump up and down, gonna spin around, gonna praise your name forever.
I'm gonna shout out loud,
I'm gonna deafen the crowd, gonna sing my praise to heaven. Can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When you've got such a lot, when you've got not a lot, what? Be happy. I'm gonna jump up and down, gonna spin right around, gonna praise your name forever. I'm gonna shout out loud, I'm gonna deafen the crowd, gonna send my praise to heaven. I'm gonna jump up and down, gonna spin right around, gonna praise your name forever.
I'm gonna shout out loud,
I'm gonna deafen the crowd, gonna send my praise to heaven. I'll run this race and I will never stop. I follow Jesus till the day I drop. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Christ who strengthens me.
When I've got such a lot, when you've got not a lot, what? Be happy. I'm on this risk and I will never stop. Follow Jesus till the day I drop. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When you've got such a lot, when you've got not a lot, what? Be happy.
Lovely. That's a good workout. The only problem with that one, really, is you've got to choose between singing and doing the actions, haven't you? So I think over the next few weeks, we're going to make that our cardio workout for a Sunday morning. Because I was seeing good participation in the actions. You're getting the gist of things. But the singing wasn't there. So we'll sort that out and then come. What? Well, it can be, because we're going to work on our hearts. I always do this. You will have guessed it. Time for the ministry from the band. Let's turn to our Bibles, please. I'm going to read from 2 Corinthians. And if you've got a Bible on you, open it. If you've got an app on you, open it and follow with me. It's quite a long reading. And I personally always find it really enlightening when I'm reading along, because it allows me to go back and double check what the preacher is saying. So 2 Corinthians, the second letter to the Corinthians, and I'll be reading the entirety of chapter 9. 2 Corinthians, chapter 9. There is no need for me to write to you about this service to the Lord's people, for I know your eagerness to help. And I have been boasting about it to the Macedonians, telling them that since last year, you and Achaia were ready to give, and your enthusiasm has stirred most of them to action. But I am sending the brothers in order that our boasting about you in this matter should not prove hollow, but that you may be ready, as I said you would be. For if any Macedonians come with me and find you unprepared, we, not to say anything about you, would be ashamed of having been so confident. So I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to visit you in advance and finish the arrangements for the generous gift you had promised. Then it will be ready as a generous gift, not as one grudgingly given. Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work, as it is written. They have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. The righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you, because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. So I'm going to start by thanking you for what you have given. Before the summer, I raised the alarm, and Annette very graciously helped me put together a reduction, really, of the core accounts. And we saw some alarming things there, didn't we? So from that moment on, we issued a call to give. So I want to thank those of you who have responded, because you have responded, and many of you extremely generously. So we thank you for that response. If any of you are in any doubt, if you're waiting to be sure that other people are playing their part before you play yours, be assured that they are. I'm printing off standing order forms on a weekly basis, so people are stepping up to take responsibility for the finances of the core. And I thank you for that. I'm not worried about the deficit. We've got mission support for that. We've got funding to fund our mission. But I am worried about a drop of 40% in giving. So thank you for stepping up. Thank you. In researching for this week's message, I came across a quote by James L. Kraft, the founder of Kraft Food Incorporated. Kraft invented the process by which cheese could be pasteurized and thereby shipped over long distances. In North America, Kraft is synonymous with boxed macaroni cheese. And on these shores, Kraft is famous for supplying us with pre-packaged cheese slices. But as well as being a 20th century, early 20th century industrialist, Kraft was a committed Christian. And here is what he has to say on the topic of giving. "The only investment I ever made, which has paid consistently increasing dividends, is the money I have given the Lord. The only investment I ever made, which has paid consistently increasing dividends, is the money I have given to the Lord." Well, some might say that that's easy to say for the multimillionaire head of a food empire. But he shares with us an important experience, and one I hope many of us can testify to also. When we give to God, we get so much more in return. And viewed this way, giving can be seen as a gift. Giving becomes a gift. The gift of giving. In his second letter to the Corinthians, the Apostle Paul's main focus is laying the fundamentals of the Christian faith. And his aim is to instruct the early church on how to live as Christians. And here in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul broaches the topic of giving, and he does so quite forcefully, doesn't he? And he sets out three elements that lead to experiencing giving as a gift. And it's those three elements that are going to shape my message this morning. And the first element here is based really on a very simple fact of life, really, a very simple fact of nature. And we read in verse 6, "Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously." And this image really is as basic as saying, well, 2 + 2 = 4. Spread more seed, harvest more produce. The gardeners here will know it. If you sow one seed, you might not even get a plant out of it. If you sow generously and you do your work, you will reap generously. And whether we want it or not, sooner or later, this basic fact of life will make itself known to us. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 2, Jesus puts it this way: "For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." That sense of proportionality between our judging in this case is emphasized. And so from that idea, we can draw this idea. Generous living reaps a harvest of kindness and acceptance in return. If we live generously, we will be blessed generously in return. But it seems to me anyway, at least, that human nature rejects this truth. And I think the National Lottery is built on this kind of false premise. The National Lottery is based on the faint hope that by sheer statistical improbability, we might reap what we haven't sown. And so even those seemingly lucky wins are the result of a huge amount of sowing carried out by others. And I suppose the talent shows that we see on TV are built on a similar way of thinking. Fame and glory are afforded those who haven't struggled to build a career. They are reaping what they haven't really sowed. If we sow generously. We reap generously. Deep down we know it. And we recognize the truth of this biblical phrase. Jesus in Luke chapter 6 verse 33, if you needed more evidence, kind of echoes that idea that I've just quoted from Matthew. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. The second element that the Apostle Paul draws out is also a pretty simple one. God's love is poured out on those who are cheerful and joyous in their giving. And this is a part of the gift. Giving gives us joy. Jesus said that he wants his joy to be in us and our joy to be complete or full. We read this in John chapter 15, verse 11. Thus, to quote Paul, God loves a cheerful giver. And one of the things that I've most loved about marrying into an African is discovering the joy that African people and the African Christians have in giving. So for instance, at African weddings, it's phenomenal. So there'll be dancing, there'll be food, and then eventually the newlywed married couple will be placed in the front of the hall, and the families will bring their gifts, and very practical gifts often, bottles of oil, sacks of rice, household equipment, and they'll march them down joyously and present them to the newlywed couple. And it's similar in church. The offering is a big moment in church, and people give extremely generously. And I've got an example to show you right now. So yeah, we do have an altar appeal later, if you're inspired. If you're inspired. But that was Brother Franklin, who became a little bit of a social media sensation a few years back. But I'm talking about joy in giving, and we're seeing joy in giving, and I've talked about joy in giving at weddings, but I haven't pointed out one fact, is if you're in Africa, you're amongst the poor of the poor. If you're in Europe or in North America, as Brother Franklin is, there are some immigrants that make a success of themselves in a financial sense, but most of them are working lowly jobs and they're being paid minimal wages, but yet that's the joy that they find in giving. That's the joy that they find in giving. They've got nothing very often. Very often, they've got nothing. But that scene will be repeated in African church after African church all through today and all over the world. The joy of giving. So the gift of giving is ours to claim when our giving is joyous and willing. We too can experience giving as a gift, not as a duty, not as an expectation, not as a pain in the backside, not as an unpleasant sacrifice. But when we accept joy, when we put that intention in our giving, giving becomes a gift. And Paul cements this conviction by stressing that the decision to give is taken individually and without force. And I emphasize this morning. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver. So there is a sense, I think, in which, and I've struggled to articulate this clearly in my thinking this week, so please bear with me. There's a sense in which our joyful or cheerful attitude to giving increases the very value, the very worth of our giving. A gift given joyfully means more than a gift given reluctantly. Does that make sense? Thank you. Thank you. So then, irrespective of the size of the gift, whether it's large or small, whether it's a gift of friendship, a gift of support, a gift of money, you name it. When we give with that attitude of joy, when we give with that attitude the attitude of cheerfulness, when we give without reluctance, it will rebound in us. It rebounds in us. And as a note at this point, I've always got to make this very clear, I'm not making a case for the so-called prosperity gospel, because in my experience, at least, these returns are rarely seen in the form of money. But these returns are nonetheless made. So cheerful, joyful giving leads us to a third element. And it's at this point that Paul's message, I think, becomes really pointed. And it's as if Paul looks each of us in the eyes and says this: look, if you really trust in God with all that you are and with all that you have, if Jesus truly is my everything, as we sang at the beginning of the meeting, well then, God will provide for you and pour out his blessings upon you. So to fully enjoy the gift of giving, we must live in trust. We must live in trust. Paul writes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. M. Herb Miller, an authority on church health and effectiveness, writes this: giving is not so much a matter of an act of generosity as it is an act of trust. We do not feel secure financially because we have. We feel secure financially because we trust God to continue providing what we need. So the third element of the gift of giving is trusting in God that he will provide. And I'm not going to pretend that even I find such an attitude easy, that I find such trusting easy. It takes courage and it takes maturity of faith. And it often requires recognizing that God provides in a way that is different to our preferences, but also in the ways that we truly need. And I see this, of course, in our personal regular tithing. Tithing is a big chunk of our relatively small income, but things always balance out. I see this in my calling as an officer. Following this calling has involved a certain amount of sacrifice, but through it, God has blessed me more than I could ever have imagined. So here's the conclusion for us all. When we take a risk for God, he invariably comes through. When we take a risk for God, he'll be there, ready to bless us in return. When we give for God, the benefits we reap are far greater than the seeds we have sown. In this sense, giving truly is a gift. So we're going to carry on now with our altar service. with our altar service in him. This morning's sermon is part of a series. It's not to guilt trip you. And we've heard that this morning. Give. Give what you can. In accordance to your own decision making and in response to God's numerous blessings upon you. To do so, we've got a backing track that we're going to that's going to accompany us, and we're going to sing the song "Give Thanks to the Lord our God and King." I'll invite you to stand, and we'll start from this side, and then we'll make our way across in a little bit of a Mexican wave of generosity, as you're given the opportunity to place your offerings on the Bible this morning. But let's make this a joyful occasion. We give out of gratitude for what God has done for us.
Give thanks to the Lord, our God and King. His love endures forever. For he is good, he is above all things. His love endures forever. Sing praise.
A longer song. Martha, get up from there, please. But that's the point, isn't it, really? Forever. Forever God is faithful. And it's on that faithfulness that we can build our generosity and our giving. I'm deciding whether to follow the prompting of the Spirit or not.
Yeah.
We're going to pray. And I'm going to open it up to you, to anyone that feels led in these moments to pray for these gifts, to pray in thankfulness for these gifts, and to pray that they might bear fruit. Let's close our eyes and pray if you're led to do so. Right now. Heavenly Father, once again we place our trust in you, Lord. And we rely on your faithfulness and on your goodness. And we thank you, Lord, this morning that we are able to give in this way. And we pray your blessing over these gifts. In Jesus' name. Amen. We have been standing a while, but we've got a closing song. Are you up for the marathon? Or if you need to sit, of course, you know, we're not going to stand on ceremony. But our closing song this morning is Be Thou My Vision. Yes, please. And then we're going to come amongst you for the regular offering as well. Be Thou, the regularly weekly often, Be Thou My Vision. And I'm going to go down and join my friend John. Be Thou My Vision. Verse 3. Be thou my breastplate, my sword for the fight. Be thou my armor, and be thou my might. Be my soul's shelter, and be my high tower. Raise thou me heavenward, O power of my power. And we'll join together to sing verses 4 and 5 together. Blessing this morning. May Christ dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Thank you.